show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Been gone for a month of Sundays, but I haven't. Just been gone. Well, Thursday, Friday, and I appreciate your patience in my need to get away. It was rather of a quick trip, and a rather it was an absolutely necessary trip. Where have I been? I literally just walked back in the door about, 30 minutes ago, having just gotten home from Mississippi. That's right, Mississippi. Drove there on Thursday into Friday, drove back yesterday into today. And in the midst of all of that, I had some magnificent, I participated in some magnificent teaching and got to meet some truly amazing, wonderful people, all centered on notions of that thing which the right wing so thoroughly hates, namely social justice. So let me start, first and foremost, by pointing out my profound thanks to everyone at the Social Justice Institute for the wonderful conference that, in fact, they did put on. It was something very, very, very special. It was held down in northwestern Mississippi. And that place is, of course, fraught with history and a history of oppression and brutality. And it was on display. I didn't get to go because I didn't get there until Friday. But on Thursday, they had taken a driving tour. It's called the Emmett Till Driving Tour. And people who actually still remember the horror that was the murder of Emmett Till provided eyewitness testimony. And from everything I heard, it was chilling, just absolutely chilling, to say the least. I learned a new word. One of the veterans of the civil rights struggles in Mississippi, a man named Hollis Watkins, a founder and organizer of Southern Echo, a social justice organization that has become huge, sang songs for us on Friday morning. He sang the songs for us that they sang, he and his comrades, when the government of Mississippi had hung them up in handcuffs by their hands from bars in Parchman Prison. I will not subject you to my singing voice. But it was a wonder. Simply a wonder. And he was telling us the reality of life in Mississippi for a black person in that era. And I learned a new word. And it's a word that I'm ashamed of. It's a word that was coined by white people. and it's a not at all subtle reminder of how near we are in time to real, genuine, and abiding horror. It was explained to us, and in many ways I felt like explained to me, because I don't intend any negativity or anything by saying this, but as a white guy, as a pink person, I was in the minority for a change. And it was very, very interesting. It was also made very, very pleasant. But I felt like it was being explained to me. Because more white folks, especially outside of the South, need to know these kinds of things. Many of you may already know this. It may come as no surprise to you. But I sat there in mute horror as the story was passed along that if you were black in Mississippi and you were on the sidewalk and a white man was coming toward you, you had to step off and bow your head until the white man went by. If the white person coming toward you happened to be female, and this is where the real horror kicks in, you had to step off, bow your head until she went by, and if, God forbid, you happened to look up and look directly at the white woman in Mississippi in the 1950s, scant 60 years ago, if you, as a black person, looked, especially a black male, looked at a white woman, you could be charged. Be charged, mind you. Not accused of, but charged, as in officially, as in within the social and criminal justice, injustice structures of that time, you could be charged. And what a word this is. With eyeball rape. As if the sexuality of an African-American male was so profound and potent that a white woman could be sexually violated merely by a glance. And where not failing to bow one's head to a white male could result in a beating, a flogging, that eyeball rape could result in summary death, which is, in essence, what was done to Emmett Till. It was a geographical lesson for me as well, because it had been a very, very long time since I'd been down that way. It sits very nearby the Mississippi River. It is on the floodplain, in fact, of the Mississippi River. And for someone coming from the hills as I do, it was almost a revelation to see all that flat land and to know that it had all been owned by one or two or three white families, and to actually have to confront the idea of slavery and sharecropping and all the economic violence and social violence and civil violence and mental violence, torment and torture that accompanies all of that. And to see it now replaced by gambling dens, where before economic gambles were taken with the labor of human beings, now the gambling is of a different economic sort, and busloads of folks show up there hoping to make some ill-gotten easy money in a system designed specifically to make them think they can get it and to make sure that they don't. It was warm down there. Got up into the 70s. Steady breeze blowing off the river. It was a profound pair of days, and I am grateful for the opportunity to have attended, and I hope to attend another one of the Social Justice Institute's conferences, because there is so much more to be learned. It was wonderful to hear those southern accents. It was wonderful to meet so many good, progressive southern people and be reminded of the correctness of what I have asserted in the past, namely, and to wit, that if you want to know what it means to be tough, if you want to know what it means to be dedicated, if you want to know what it means to have a belly full of fire and unwillingness to quit, then you need to get friendly with some hardcore Southern liberals. Because they are the toughest liberals in this country. Just are. So that's where I've been. I have not been completely out of the loop, although I have largely been limited only to the sort of stuff I can get by email and so forth on my phone. And of course, engaged in conferences and conversations, culture, and organizing. But I am aware of what has been taking place in the world. I'm aware of what happened and continues to happen in Japan. I'm aware of, a number of things. And we will try to discuss many of them this evening. In case you weren't expecting to find me back live, feel free to jump right into the chat room. Head on radionetwork.com. Membership is free. Joining is easy. And it's a wonderful group we have in there. There is an abundance to talk about this evening. Although I admit I have been profoundly moved just by what I was around those couple of days. And sometimes, you know what? You know that the world is going to wobble along in its own fashion. You know that it's going to continue to be a wreck. And sometimes you just have to focus on things closer at hand. And one of the things I was able to do was to expand the awareness of folks there about what we face here in Appalachia. In a way, when I first saw the news breaking Friday morning of what's going on in Japan, my heart broke twice. Once for what is happening and continues to happen, and the second time with the realization that there are still going to be people out there saying, well, nuclear power is perfectly safe. And lo and behold, if I didn't hear it this morning as I was driving home, some prattling boob from MIT saying, well, we must remember that the reactors survived the earthquake just fine. It was that tsunami that got them. As if somehow or another the tsunami... Who could possibly imagine a tsunami in Japan? And it's another one of those moments from The Princess Bride all over again. Inconceivable! That word... I do not think it means what you think it means. No, some corporation, some profit-centered outfit, cut corners and dodged. And maybe didn't build the seawall as high as well, they could have, but, you know, it would have cut into the profits to do that. But ultimately, we understand, do we not, finally, that nuclear power is inherently unsafe. You cannot make it safe because it is ultra-hazardous in its origins. Nuclear power was only foisted upon the world by people not interested in providing electricity, but interested in providing profits. Gosh almighty, look at who manufactures the reactors. Oh, there they are, General Electric. The same people that manufactures bombs to drop on brown people. Well, who would have... No one could possibly have imagined that they would kill what may turn out to be upwards of 10,000 plus initially in Japan and another God knows how many from radiation or whatever turns out to... Well, General Electric was not responsible for the tsunami. But... And I couldn't help thinking about the discussion I had with Sandra a couple of weeks ago about the earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand. Huh. Another island on the Pacific Rim with a monstrous earthquake. And, of course, I've heard somewhere that on the southern one of the southern islands of Japan, there is now a volcano blasting rock out of the earth. No. Who could imagine any of that would happen? I was particularly happy on Friday to get a note from our buddy Robert in Kitakyushu, Japan, with an update of his world at that time. I also checked on BartCop and saw where Lonnie in Tokyo, who has from time to time listened to this program as well and shared thoughts. It's been a while since we heard from Lonnie. Is okay. And you're not, of course. But Robert took time to write at some length, and I want to share that with you. He said, hi, Bob. Just wanted to drop a note about the recent earthquake and tidal waves that hit here. My family and I are okay. In fact, the only area that was not affected by this disaster was the area just west of Kitakyushu and up along the west coast of Honshu along Yamaguchi Prefecture. Strange, isn't it? In fact, I didn't even know anything had happened until I was talking to my neighbor. But while life goes on as if nothing has ever happened, there are dozens upon dozens upon dozens of Phukets going throughout port after port in Hokkaido, Okinawa, and Honshu. You cannot see what I am seeing on channel after channel, but it is mind-blowing, Bob. And at the time of his writing, this tells you how early it came in. He said at this time, 61 people dead and 244 injured. Of course, as an editorial note, they were announcing today the discovery of 2,000 human beings dead in Miyagi Prefecture. Robert continued, if it isn't the floods and damage from the earthquake, it's the fires. The Chiba gas storage facility going up in flames is one of the largest fires I've ever seen in my life. And keep in mind, I lived through the Hanshin earthquake of Kobe, and even though I was in Hiroshima, it was almost bad enough to have me dash out of my building. Kobe took years to rebuild. I had to fly out of Tokyo a few months later and had to walk 20 minutes through the devastation to get to another bus line from which we could take that we could take to get to Tokyo. This, says Robert, will be much worse. Nuclear power stations have all shut down in the area. Millions are without power. Trains are out. Cell phones are out, with people lining up in the hundreds to use the few public telephones that are still functioning. Expressways are out as well. have to check the roads as they are elevated above the city. Airports have closed down until the runways are all inspected. Thus, just checking the news a few minutes ago, the remaining roads are jammed with traffic, and the traffic jams stretching as far as the eye could see, which I guess goes to show where we would be without those trains. It was bad timing for the junior high schools. Today, you see, was graduation day, a very formal affair, and with those buildings going back and forth for over a minute, all the students were turned outside into the snow if they were in Hokkaido. And now a twisted question for the day, Bob. How will the markets react to this? How will they seek profits from this, you know, just like they do after each mine disaster? Will the yen rise or fall on this news? Seriously, check out Fox or some right-wing rag, and there will be, I assure you, some advice about how others can profit from this. You reckon the Buy Gold Now ads were ramped up a little bit on Fox after this? I can't say it for sure. But I'll bet you. Count on, however, the folks at Radio Rwanda to screw it up. And, by the way, understanding the gravity of the situation, nonetheless, with this story, it becomes necessary to do this. This is in no wise meant to discount the gravity, but you're going to have some of this, especially when Fox is broadcasting. That's right. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. Get your Moran Monday programs right here for the one thin dime. Less than one slightly thicker nickel per each hour of programming per month on the horn. It is Moran Monday on the horn. Big Morans, little Morans, all of them right-wing Morans, broadcast Morans, mean Morans, violent Morans, stupid Morans, Morans in profusion and plenty. And you can only find out about it right here on your program for identifying Morans, the horn. Step behind this thin, thin veil of cybernetic canvas to see shocking exemplars of Moranity in America. No one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes. Women are encouraged to hang tightly to their purses, as the right-wing Morans have been known to grasp, grab, grubble, and greedily reach for things they think to contain money, whether it be the public purse or your darling spouse's. That's right, head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. It's Moran Monday on the horn. I'm Barker Bob. Yeah, the clowns, and what would a circus be without clowns? The clowns at Radio Rwanda ran a graphic. They ran a graphic during Your World with Neil Cavuto that showed the locations of all of Japan's nuclear power plants. There's Tomari, Olegawa, Fukushima, Tokai, Hamaoka, Sendai, Hikata, Takahama, Shika. But there's one in there that nobody else had on their maps except for the Morans at Radio Rwanda. And that is Shibuya Eggman. Shibuya Eggman. Shibuya Eggman. Yeah, as in, I am the Eggman, you are the Eggman, I am the Walrus. Right. Shibuya Eggman. That's only because it doesn't exist. Well, not really. It doesn't exist as a nuclear power station. Simon Malloy over at Media Matters for America has identified where Shibuya Eggman comes from. Wait for this. Truly, truly, this is right-wing Fox Radio Rwanda Moranity on parade and in grand display. Shibuya Eggman, as Simon Malloy found, turned up nothing in a Google search. Searching on Nexus, Simon Malloy also says he struck out. But then continued digging, as any good journalist would, and found out that Eggman, capital E-G-G-M-A-N, Eggman, is the name of a disco in an upscale and rather trendy neighborhood of Tokyo called Shibuya. Yeah, no kidding. Radio Rwanda, Fox News on Your World with Neil Cavuto, which is apparently an imaginary world because it's got imaginary nuclear reactors in Japan. Yeah, they listed as a nuclear reactor, a disco. It sits beneath Eggman in Shibuya, the At Super Suits store. Some sort of a clothing establishment. And there's a staircase down into the basement area for the Eggman Disco. Shibuya Eggman. Nuclear power facility. With mirror balls. Right. And, you know, I take some umbrage at that. Because, in fact, as we speak, literally millions are without potable water in Japan. At least 380,000 human beings have been displaced and rendered homeless as a result of the earthquake and the tsunami. And it's all a big joke to some graphics geek working for Radio Rwanda. Shibuya Eggman. There is something about all of this, this horror, this pathetic, sad, grievous situation, that just makes something like Shibuya Eggman almost nauseating. Doesn't it? Yeah. And yet, the powers that be aren't, and I know this because I listen to more right-wing radio than I care to even discuss as I drove, the powers that be are busily spinning for all they're worth to make sure that, well, America still needs to build more nuclear power plants. And we don't, you know, you don't have tsunamis in Tennessee, and you don't have them in Alabama neither. And they got through the earthquake just fine, thank you very much. It was that tsunami took them down. Because they will not be deterred in their relentless pursuit of unholy profit. If you're looking to be trying to provide some sort of relief, financial relief in this process, I've had a reminder here that Mercy Corps is a respectable and legitimate operation that is getting support there. Mercy Corps. They have a partner called Peace Winds. Just be aware, I'm sure that Samaritan's Purse will be out there trying to suck up all the money it can for the well-being of Franklin Graham. The religious hucksters will be out in force on this because fundamentalist religious hucksters prey upon human flesh, whether it be dead or alive. So if you want to give to support the earthquake relief, please exercise caution, and please try to make sure that you don't get had by an operation like Samaritan's Purse, because they're going to they will try to capitalize on this horror. It reminds me when Bill the Cat Killer Frist was still the Senate Majority Leader, and he took a trip after the Southeast Asian tsunami, and he told one of the photographers, hey, get a couple of pictures of me here. Make sure you get a lot of the good devastation in the background, all right? Yeah, Bill the Cat Killer Frist really did that. Not that anyone is surprised. But there's a lot more to talk about, and we can certainly talk about this in the course of conversation this evening. You probably have much more information than I have, and we can process a lot better. And I will be the better for it. But it is Moran Monday. And I have a nomination. It is very interesting to me. And for once, I don't get, not for once, but I'm certainly not including us or myself in this. You're familiar with the so-called Sting video. No, not the guy that used to be with the police. The James O'Keefe, dummied up, faked up, rubed up, ginned up, frauded up video, concerning NPR that he put out last week. Well, guess what? I have been confirmed again. Once I pointed out early on that I didn't know why anyone would run with a story that had been ginned up by James O'Keefe, for the simple reason that James O'Keefe is a... what's that word I'm looking for? Liar! James O'Keefe is a liar. James O'Keefe is a prevaricator. James O'Keefe is a non-truth teller. James O'Keefe may very well be a sociopath. The truth, as we say, ain't in him. And so, lo and behold, it turns out, and guess who had to do this? This is the sickening part. Guess who exposed and was finally taken seriously? Guess who exposed James O'Keefe as a liar? You're going to find this surprising if you don't know already. Glenn Beck. Yeah, the guy with what Lewis Black, comedian, once referred to as Nazi Tourette's. Glenn Beck and his online news aggregator, The Blaze, took apart the James O'Keefe NPR video and found out that just like the Shirley Sherrod video, just like the Acorn video, just like the Dodge he ran in Louisiana at Mary Landrieu's office, just like James O'Keefe's video about NPR is a big stinking lie. Now, if you're a regular listener to this program, you will know from some, maybe it was nearly a year ago. Nah, it was months back, not a year. You may recall a conversation between Brad Friedman, Matt Osborne, and me, in which we laid out chapter and verse of what a filthy liar James O'Keefe is. And we laid out how media organizations, from the New York Times on down, had been suckered in Acorn, had been suckered in the Shirley Sherrod matter. And we asked the question, why in God's name would anybody believe anything that this freak published? And so there I was last week asking the question all over again. Well, guess what? The Blaze exposed him, and now, lo and behold, all the bloggers who took James O'Keefe's NPR video and ran with it are backtracking as fast as they possibly can. Well, it appears he certainly significantly edited the video so that it was not the same. It didn't. The real video didn't say what he said it said. Really? You're just figuring that out. Morons! But of course, the bell has already been rung, and you cannot unring a bell. The horses are already out of the barn, and closing the door after them is a bit superfluous. But you have to ask yourself, why would Glenn Beck do this? Because Glenn Beck got burnt to the quick over the Shirley Sherrod video and was made to look like the fool he is. And now, well, Shirley Sherrod's got her some lawsuit going that may or may not wind up causing a great deal of trouble and inconvenience to one Glenn Beck. Payback is a booger. And that is what Glenn Beck is dealing out to James O'Keefe, because Glenn Beck relied as if it were gospel upon the Shirley Sherrod video, to the point that he terrified the Obama administration into preemptively ditching her. And then they found out that the Shirley Sherrod video was a hyper-edited piece of garbage. So everybody from NPR to Politico to just about the entire blogosphere, with a few notable exceptions, being people who have better sense than to trust anything James O'Keefe does. I think of folks like Truth Out and Crooks and Liars and Think Progress and some others. Everybody else fell for the story. And everybody else, for having fallen for the story, gets themselves a Moran Monday nomination. And if nothing else, it is a shining example of just how crappy the standards of the for-profit media are. How lazy they are. If it comes with a nice, glossy package, if the copy has already been written for them, they will run anything that comes from the right wing almost without reservation. Meanwhile, after a season of idiots carrying guns and wearing tri-cornered hats showing up at so-called town hall meetings to talk about taking our country back and the phony creation of a phony movement called the Tea Party, which we know as much more accurately as the Teabaggers, it turns out that on one day, on one lone day, the entirety of the whole teabagging phenomenon was put to bed, put to rest. It's done. The massive protest that took place on Saturday in Madison, Wisconsin, featured contained as many as 100,000 human beings, all showing up to let Scott Walker, that born-again gubernator, to show Scott Walker that they were not willing to let him thug them. Madison, Wisconsin saw some significant protests during the Vietnam War. Even the Vietnam War protests were dwarfed by the protest of Saturday in Madison. And certainly, even Glenn Beck's Whiteapalooza on the Mall August 28th past was put to bed by this rally of ordinary folks who came on their own. And didn't have to be goaded by Americans for Prosperity or some idiot who can see Russia from her house. Where was the for-profit media in that? Yeah, not so much. Where was the, you get the idea. The New York Times, CNN. See, stories like this are proof that A, those organizations are run by profit-driven morons, and B, that our only hope is in creating our own media, of which this, the Horn, is proud to be a humble, teeny, tiny part, and which you, with your kind contributions, support every month. We can always use that support. With my absence Thursday and Friday, things slowed down thanks to the small handful of people who did continue to contribute to the Thrifty 250. That aggregate of 250 people, we're trying to get 250 people a month to give $10 a piece so that things will just become a little less stressful in trying to get a program out every day. We are in dire need of a lot more of those little $10 contributions. If you haven't lately, now would be a good time. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com, and so is the snail mail address under the tab Contribute. Either way is fine. Either way is absolutely fine. Because we are at the middle of March, and we are nowhere near the $1,250 we need to be at in order to finish March in the black. And when I mean nowhere near, I mean no, really, nowhere near. Not even at $1,000, not even at $900. Nowhere near. If we could get there, we are within striking distance, but it's going to take a good handful of you, at least 40 members of the Thrifty 250 at $10 a piece, or whatever you can spare. So my apologies for the pitch. But I've been gone, and when I'm gone and I don't do this, it all goes for the most part. But again, some people did continue, and for that, we are very, very thankful. A flurry would be nice about now to get us to the halfway mark, halfway through March. And a program note. This is going to be a very busy week. I'm home for tonight, and I'm on the air tomorrow night. But then, and I beg your indulgence, I have to be gone Wednesday, Thursday, and maybe I'll be back in time for a show on Friday. I have been called to a meeting in D.C. I'm getting a little saddle sore. But you know what? It's got to be done. It has to be done. Because we're not at a place where we can sit around and wait for someone else to do it. You know, the tsunami and the earthquakes in Japan and nuclear power over there, I'll take more information from folks on the ground if they can get an email. Robert, are you there? Can get an email through. But there are plans to build more nuclear reactors in Japan. What? Is Japan the one place on Earth where the wind doesn't blow? Where the sun doesn't shine? There's volcanoes on the southern end of the nation. A little geothermal, maybe? And while America sits around with its thumb up its butt, instead of doing the hard work and necessary work of building what is being called Grid 2.0, maybe the Japanese, so technologically proficient, might, instead of throwing billions more yen, trillions more yen, down the nuclear rat hole after this disaster, perhaps Japan might be the ones to build Grid 2.0 and then kindly share it with the lazy Americans who are controlled by oil companies and coal companies and gas companies. Because in North Dakota alone, and I know we have listeners in North Dakota, they can tell you all about the wind there. In North Dakota alone, there is enough wind power potential to power the entire nation once we build Grid 2.0. In 45 square miles in the American Southwest, there is enough solar potential to power the entire nation once we build Grid 2.0. In other words, that means we have more than twice the necessary potential to power this nation if we will only get away from the tired, worn-out, toxic, poisonous, old notions of oil and gas and, yes, coal, because it is near and hated in my heart. Get away from those toxic things. Get away from the shit that glows in the dark and go to and develop what has been there all along. You know what happens when a tsunami hits a wind turbine? Sometimes the wind turbine gets knocked down. Yeah, people don't die of radiation sickness or get exposed to radiation and get cancer 5 or 10 or years later or a month later. No. No. That's what happens with nuclear power. When a tsunami hits a solar panel, it might wash the solar panel away. But it's possible to come up with systems where neither the wind turbine gets knocked down nor the solar panel gets washed away. Oh my God, you can even deliver solar electricity that's gathered in space to stations on planet Earth. And if a tsunami hits them, again, the power might go out for a little bit, but the power comes back on. And all we need for all of this to be real and really effective is Grid 2.0. That ExxonMobil and Royal Dutch Shell and BP and Massey Energy and Alpha Natural Resources and Peabody and Consol and Arch are all working desperately to keep from happening because it is good for their bottom damn line for you to get poisoned in order for them to get rich. We can do this, you know. It is a matter not of national will, but of global human will. It becomes more likely, however, if you and I get a little noisy about it and demand that it be done. Because it ain't gonna happen till we do. So it's about 10 minutes before the hour. That's enough for me. Let's talk about you. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported, emphasis on the words, listener-supported, liberal voice. This is The Horn, and we'll be right back with your calls.
Messages in vain. But the sound of his philosophy rose above the falling rain. And to you find it difficult to believe in anything. I praise you for the outrage at the horror you have seen. Holocaust has meaning. set in stone, but drawn in sand. And in some cold and barren place, he spoke a phrase and thus I heard. With every small decision, you change a heart, you change the world.
Cool Genius, it's not your mother's soap.
Hey dude, wait 1 second, it's totally my mother's soap.
Cool Genius, it's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap! There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends!
And hippies!
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Little Genius, we got your soap right here!
And other bath and body stuff!
www.littlegenius.com.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Now, don't everybody run out there and be contributing your nifty 250 contribution all at one time. You might, I don't know, you might crash the Gmail or something. But it would help if somebody would. Meanwhile, you heard the Bubble Genius ad. I got to tell you, I'm holding something really special in my hands right now. Stop it. I have in my hand the very first bar of Horn soap. Yes, indeedy. You can now, and I will give you details later. I got to finish fleshing them out with the ladies from Bubble Genius. You can now take the Horn to the tub or the shower with you. You can set the Horn in your soap dish at your in your bathroom or your kitchen sink. There is Horn soap. No, Lottie, not porn soap. Horn soap. Horn. H-O-R-N. Horn. People. With the magical Horn logo that you see there at the top of the chat room, kindly designed for us by our buddy Mike, who this is just going to be with us for a long, long time. This logo, and it's right there in your soap, and you're just going to like the heck out of it. Nope, there's no coal tar in it. In fact, you would see on the label, if you looked on the back, handmade in Hollywood, USA, totally, I think you have to say this differently when you're talking about Hollywood, USA, totally vegan. And you know what? I'm not necessarily into eating a vegan meal, but I am definitely down with vegan soap, because I don't need no coal tar in my soap, and I don't need no body part, human body. I want to wash my body parts, not wash with something else's body parts. So I'll get a photo up somehow. Maybe take a photo and send it to News Ninja Susan or something. Get a picture of the Horn soap up on the web so you can all have a look. It's really cool. Got a whole care package from the Bubble Genius folks. I got the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. That's false teeth denture soap. Not for doing your dentures with, but it just looks like a set of dentures. It's cute as can be. A little plastic purse of fresh picked suds, bag of flowers, soap set, all kinds of different flowers. There's a lily, a sunflower. There's a butterfly in the flowers. There's a rose. Yeah, I think that's a poppy. And what are you? Ah, King for a Day, Mardi Gras king cake soap. And there's even a little baby Jesus with it, just like a king cake has. And it's cinnamon scented. You got to check it out. Horn soap, does it leave you horny? Asks Cindy. Well, you know, I will leave that to you to determine for yourself, because I don't want to give any preconceived ideas. No, I don't think there is boner soap, and, or at least I hope there's not. So enough of that. It's a minute past the hour, and let us go straight away to the phones. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey. So, the reactor situation, I mean, I can't believe the propaganda that's sort of coming out over here. It's
so, like, yeah, you're hearing it too?
Well, it's just so over the top. It's sort of like, are you kidding me? I mean, I'm looking at, you know, now the Japanese government is pleading for international help, you know, and I knew that it was a bit of a problem when they started using seawater, because they obviously aren't trying to save anything, because it's going to rust everything.
Oh, yeah, mucho corrosion.
Right, and so it's just kind of like, and I mean, the only thing that's, and you don't know what information you're getting. You know, these incidents with the nuclear stuff always brings out the no transparency in government moment. And when I hear U.S. carrier groups moving the hell away, see, that's all I need to hear. You see what I'm saying? That's what I hear. I hear Americans.
Right. Well, Ronald Reagan had to move away because, you know, the Ronald Reagan has a reactor in it.
Yeah, I know. That's also, you know, yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, it's just sort of this sort of jibber jabber about, oh, it's not that dangerous, when there's reports of cesium-137, which is supposed to be a direct signal of meltdown.
Right, and it has a half-life of 60 years.
And they keep talking about 160 people irradiated until they test the next person. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then everyone they've tested is turned out to be radiation. And it's kind of like, wow, if you look at that situation, those people probably won't be coming back to their homes, I would think.
How could they?
And the meltdown thing, you know, you're getting so much mixed gibberish about that, you know, I guess people have to play it down. I suppose that's how you cope, because, you know, as far as I can tell, it's hella frightening. I'm sorry.
It's terrifying.
I find the whole thing.
And you know, I don't know whether it was propaganda or whether it was just testament to the character of the Japanese people. I heard a report on, as I was driving home from some woman with a lovely accent over there, some sort of English accent, British accent, saying that she was amazed that even though no one has water, even though no one, you know, food scarcity, everything, that everyone is being perfectly well behaved. No looting, the drink dispensing machines haven't been overturned and ripped open. And that indicates to me that they've got some level of, not faith, but some level of willingness to depend upon the decency of their government.
Well, yeah, I mean, to look at what's going on, I mean, yeah, the level of community is just sort of reverberating. I mean, that's separate from the government as far as I'm concerned. It sounds like people there are able to come together. And, of course, it begs to compare. I don't even want to think about that here in the great state of California. mind you, we already got a fair amount of damage from the wave that hit Santa Cruz. That's a bit rough.
How bad was it?
Well, they had like 18 vessels destroyed. A man was whitewashed away in Crescent City. So they're estimating about $40 million so far if you look at monetary damages. But I don't know what the other injuries are, but I know one man was swept away.
And there was some ugliness in Hawaii, too, wasn't there?
Right, in Hawaii, too. But, but also, you know, don't tell me that that the cloud won't be coming our way. It's like, hello, right?
Well, that is the direction the winds blow.
Right. And, I mean, but it's so disturbing. I mean, that country pretty much has been destroyed, you know, on some level. I mean, they seem to be able to turn all their resources, you know, to help their people, which is gratifying.
But there are economic underpinnings that are really scary. The fact that Japan is the number two debtor nation on Earth.
Well, yeah, it's
behind
incredible.
Behind Zimbabwe.
No. And because they're such a large economy, it's just going to reverberate all over the world, from what I can tell. I'm still sort of just stunned by the force. And this sort of ring of fire, I mean, the Christchurch thing, you know, and then this.
And that's all that subduction zone between the Asian plate and the North American plate, if you can imagine the North American plate extending that far, but it does. And the thing is, they're moving at what, in geologic terms, is breakneck speed. The North American plate is subverting the Asian plate at a rate of 3 inches per year. And in terms of geology, I mean, that's flying.
Yeah. Well, no, it's definitely... I mean, the number of earthquakes has been astounding over the last 18 months. It's just kind of like, I don't even know. I mean, I can't even believe that this has happened.
And I hate to bring this up because it's so nauseating, but it couldn't be helped. I'm, you know, howling down the interstate today, Sandra, pushing the scan button, trying to find something I can stand to hear.
Yeah.
And, of course, the radio goes and stops. On who else, you know, the great jiggling gas bag, who is saying, and now these liberals are trying to claim that natural gas fracking for the natural gas we must have to lead our everyday lives may be causing earthquakes. These liberals.
Well, isn't that what caused that earthquake? Was it in Kentucky or Arkansas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I mean, at some point,
and Lottie just now reporting in the chat room, reactor number 3 is gone.
It's gone where?
Well, I mean, it's toast.
They can't cool it anymore.
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, no, it's really horrifying. But we still got to hear about how we still need to invest in this. And don't they have like $63 billion worth of loan guarantees on the table for this madness?
Something like that. And I'm just looking at an article that Benny has put up, Benedict has put up in the chat room, saying that Japan is fiscally able to meet its needs. But I have a different question, and that is, you know, because I'm such a radical and such a liberal, why is it, whether it's a nuclear power company or gas frackers or the mountain bombers or whomever, you know, that we don't take seriously the need to have reserve funds available for fixing when they screw up?
Well, no, the externalities now is the whole damn world. This is the problem.
Yeah.
They never cover their externalities. We're always on the hook. In this case, with our lives, at least the poor Japanese people are, because... what the hell? Handing out iodine. I mean, all of it is just like, damn, you know, it's horrific.
Yeah, and you know, if you're Japanese of a certain age, Aren't you tempted to look up and say, "Oh, we've been to this movie before"?
Well, yeah, that whole specter is just I don't even know. But you know, I have to, you know, shift back over to our country for a minute because, you know, I can't get past what's going on in these states. And my biggest concern right now is the full embrace of fascism that Michigan is facing. Do you know about this?
Yes.
I mean, the Democrats tried to put an amendment on this emergency power bill that would allow this manager they pick to only make as much as the governor, which is $159,000. Guess what? The Republicans shot that down. Now, oh, wait a minute. If they're there just to take care of a fiscal emergency, why do they need to earn more? Oh, because a corporation could also be that person fixing it. And so they need to be able to make as much money as possible. I mean, it's just stunning. So when you have 100,000 people coming out in Madison, people need to wake the hell up and look at Michigan, because this is real fascism they're talking about, because this one person will be able to look at some poor community and say, "Oh, man, you guys aren't doing too well. It's an emergency. We're going to come in, and now you're going to have one man or a corporation running poor areas and just, you know, not offering any opportunities, just dismantling what's left of it, selling off the public utilities."
And
there.
Right, and how is that not some sort of dictatorial fiat? Exactly.
Well, the CBS News actually had the nerve to call it financial martial law. This is the term.
What?
Yeah, I'm thinking, are you kidding with your language there? And this is supposed to make it palatable to dumbass Americans, I guess? It's incredible. I mean, this one here is...
So just calling it austerity is now out of fashion?
Well, I'm just saying, I just was looking at the headline there, and that term was sort of just disturbing in the sense that, oh, but this is okay? You know, you're a corporate media outlet. You're going to report it like that, and the consumers of your news are supposed to read that and think, "Oh, well, yeah, I guess it's a rough time." So that's, I mean, hello. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we've been living under financial martial law since 1980. Truth be told, if we can incorporate that into our lexicon here.
Well, there's yeah.
You know,
financial martial law. Does that, and so I guess that just means that they can apply martial law principles to finances and shoot communities in the streets?
Yeah, well, no, it is just BS. It's, I mean, no, this is seriously this is like Mussolini fascism, because, you know, I'm stuck on the idea that he's already have 100 people being trained for this. Now, who's supporting all this? You know, what foundation or billionaire or whatever is supporting this, and how is this not bumping up against constitutional issues? Because the last I heard, you can vote for your local representative, and if you don't like what they're doing, you wait till the election and you vote them back out. Not, "Oh, hi, I'm here to, you know, destroy all your contracts, take over your schools, and you have no say."
I'm gonna tear everything down so that elections won't mean anything. But it reminds me of Emma Goldman, who said if voting solved anything, they wouldn't let you do it.
Exactly. I mean, it is. But no, this is just sort of really blatant. It is straight up shock doctrine type stuff, and. I think there's a big protest planned for Wednesday in Lansing. I'm not too sure about that, but I'm just sort of stunned that this is all going on. And please explain to me, Bob, why is it that these presidents have to sort of hang around in classrooms when the world around us is going to hell? Can you explain what that's about?
You know, I was thinking about that coming up the road today. There's something in that smacks of my pet goat, frankly.
Listen, like, what in the world? I don't know. I'm sorry. I just was sort of thinking this is just so bizarre. And
I guess the argument would be, well, you know, that was booked weeks in advance. How can we predict it? We can't predict earthquakes. But sometimes you prioritize.
What about the optics on that? That is just don't look right. And also, just a quick announcement, the new slogan for the 2012 election is Change That Matters. I am not lying
no,
to
stop.
You. No, stop. I am lying to you. Change That Matters. That is the new logo for the Obama 2012.
So does that mean that we need to get busy identifying all the stuff in the past 3 years or so that apparently didn't?
I wanted to come on the show, and I was making a promise to myself, I won't hassle and go on about Obama because I was thinking about Gary, and I can appreciate what he's saying, but I can't stop. Because it's just nonstop, including the poor man who had the nerve to say that Manning, that shit is fucked up how he's being treated. And, not even 48 hours passed before that fool had been fired. T.J. Crawley.
Yeah, his resignation had been regretfully accepted.
Oh, my God. So, you know, I'm sorry. I can't let go. The Obama administration is really scary. When he comes out there talking about, they're just doing what they're supposed to do with, remember when they asked him a question? That's why the man got fired, because someone deigned to ask the emperor, why are you making this man go nude all the time? And Obama's like, whatever. And next thing you know, that guy's fired, you know?
Right. Goodbye, P.J. Crowley.
Yeah, and it's just
after,
like,
you know, what did Hillary say? A career of some 30 to 40 years?
No, but it's just sort of, I don't know. It just doesn't really bode well to me when, the State Department is going to try to justify the sort of mini torture we got going on here and lecture the people like Gaddafi and whoever. How can the U.S. stand up and say anything at this point?
I remember when back during the Cold War, when China and the Soviet Union would point out stuff like this and we'd say, that's just because they're a totalitarian dictatorship. And look at the problems they've got with their own black population in the United States. And we'd go, look at them. There's none of that left. I mean, the microscope is on us.
No, but to be honest...
By the same token, really? Saudi Arabian kneecappers have been dispatched to Bahrain?
Oh, and not a peep from us, right?
Right, no. No.
I mean, I looked at that and I thought,
Israel announced that it would expand more settlements in the West Bank after the murder of an Israeli family by presumed Palestinians.
Yeah.
Not a word from us.
Right. Well, no, I mean, all of it is just crazy because it's sort of, hand-wringing and head exploding over Libya. I'm like, what? What the hell's going on in, the Ivory Coast? No, not a peep about that, and the nonstop murderous behavior in the Congo. So I don't.
Oh, did you catch that? Did you catch though that we did have find? Did you? Excuse me. Did you catch that we did find time to send a memo to Jean-Bertrand Aristide though?
What? Stay there.
Stay out of Haiti until after the presidential runoff or whatever it is on Saturday.
Right, but that Duvalier, he's still there, right?
Last I checked.
I mean, all that's just so weird. And when Hillary took time out from the meltdown of Egypt, from their perspective, to go to Haiti, I thought, you know what I mean? So, yeah, all that is so dire. But the Libya thing is also really disturbing to me because I'm really sort of gotten much more entrenched in the please don't do a fly zone camp. I just think the whole thing smacks of, it's just the wrong...
Well, do you remember last week when I said if the right wing wants it, I'm against it? And I know that's kind of a bad way to do political analysis, but lo and behold, here is William the Bloody Crystal, who couldn't stand it anymore. He had to come out and, and vomit some bloodthirsty filth into the atmosphere. He wants more than a no-fly zone in Libya. He wants us to attack Gaddafi's warships and tanks. He wants a full-on war with Libya. But Bill Kristol wants a full-on war with everybody.
No, I mean, but the Libya thing is like, Libya is not Egypt, you know, it's not a client state of the U.S. It's a whole different layout, you know, ask the Italians. You know what I mean? Libya, they're not keen on, you know, the Western powers. I think they had a good long taste of that during Mussolini, to be honest, if I can bring him back in again.
Well, he has a hard time going away.
Well, he was all over Libya from, what, is it 1910 to World War II? You know, it was brutal. I think 500,000 Libyans died. I mean, it's not pretty. So, and Gaddafi isn't, you know, your run-of-the-mill strong man who just was appointed there. He came through the military. You know, it's a whole different history with Libya. And so I'm concerned about the black Africans who are being slaughtered by the, quote, rebels. What's that about?
I can't make heads and tails of anything in the way of policy out of it. I'm sorry. I wish I could sit here and say, well, you know, there's a very good reason for that, and it's no.
No, but it's not. But the Libya thing is just not a matter of, oh, we're going to do an Iraqi type of you know, no fly zone BS. I'm not buying it. And I'm fish eyeing the Obama administration if they in the end go that route as a, you know, diversion. I'm sorry, I don't trust none of these folks.
Well, I don't think that there's any ground to be trusting. I mean, my God.
I don't know. I am sort of, you know, I'm kind of stuck with where the, because that rally was huge in Madison, yeah?
Yeah, and what was said about it on the for-profit media?
Well, yeah, no, but we, obviously, we're just going to have to be just saying what we're saying about it, because it's not going to change. It's still...
Well, I'm looking at this photograph of 100,000 people, and I'm thinking, gosh, I'll bet there's not three guns in the whole thing that aren't on cops. You know, when our side comes out to make its voice heard and its opinions known, we don't have to carry AK-47 slung from our shoulders to show everyone that, you know, because those things are blue steel penis extensions, really, you know, when you get right down to it.
Well, I mean, but the for-profit media is, they're just horrific. I mean, you know, what that was a response to the immiseration of people, of working people, and basically all these bills are trying to make it easier to exploit people. I mean, how else can you look at what's going on? Because if you don't have any right, any collective bargaining rights, then you're going to be immiserated.
And I've argued all along, especially since the Wisconsin thing began, and then it raised its head in Ohio and yada, yada, yada. I've tried to explain that this stuff does not happen by accident, Sandra. That everybody didn't, every right-winger didn't just come up with this idea at the same time. And lo and behold, here it is. There are the bills that have popped up in Maine, Missouri, New Hampshire, and a number of other states have, lo and behold, they're all practically identical. They have the same damn language. It's basically been written and disseminated from right-wing think tanks into these teabagging governor's offices.
Yeah, no. It's definitely, just using the economic madness as an excuse. But the thing that it's doing, though, is destroying people's ability to stand up. That's the thing that's really frightening. And some people are just so dumb. They don't make the connection. They think, oh, yeah, crush all the unions. You know, I don't have anything, so why should they? And when they are making $3 an hour, they still won't be able to make the connection. They'll find some brown person to blame, I guess, when we get to that point.
I'm sure they're looking for him right now.
So I don't, you know, I'm not too sure, and I don't mean to take away from what happened in Madison. That's great. I'm just sort of concerned about...
Well, no, there's an element of if a tree falls in the forest and the for-profit media don't cover it. I mean, because there's other parts of this country that desperately need to see that happening in Madison. That needs to be seen in states like where I was, you know, Mississippi.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. And yeah, I'm assuming that they're working on the recall and... going to go the legal route, right?
Yep. And yet, that's so time-consuming, you wonder if it'll... It's like, you remember when Citizens United came out and, bless her heart, Donna Edwards from Maryland came said, I'm proposing a constitutional amendment right now. And we all kind of looked at each other and said, but that takes 7 years. And in 7 years' time, Citizens United will have completely consolidated its death grip on America.
Mm.
There are, I mean, if the recall stuff may take too long. And that's the frightening part of this.
Well, yeah, no, it's just, no, and that's the thing. And I noticed just reading some of the press in Wisconsin, you know, all these unions have been scrambling to get deals done. That's another thing that's going on. I mean, I just don't see how it's going to, I mean, I just don't really know all the inside and out. I just don't see how they're going to expect teachers to, okay, now your class is 50, you know, deal with it. And you don't have no say, you know, screw you, and expect for the system to continue. You know what I mean?
But that's where I go, but wait. They don't expect the system to continue, Sandra.
Okay, because the cuts...
This is about crushing the system. This is about making public education fail.
Right, because, well, yeah, if you cut $1 billion or whatever the hell they're talking about, it's just incredible what the rest of that bill is going to do. So anyway, I don't know. I don't understand how they're able to do it and break all the open meeting laws and all the sort of procedural laws that they broke.
Well, the nice thing about breaking those laws is you always know when you make a conscious choice to break them, Sandra, that it has to get through the courts. It's kind of like being a non-union. I'm sorry, but these are the examples I have to hand. It's kind of like being a non-union coal mine, and a non-union coal miner. You remember the Sago disaster of a few years ago? Well, that was a non-union hole, and if you went to the boss and said, you know, this thing's gassy and it's going to blow, and I don't feel safe, the boss would say, well, get your ass home and don't come back ever. You're out of a job. So then the guy has been illegally fired and blacklisted and whatnot, so he files a lawsuit. In the meantime, 5 years later, he wins his lawsuit, but in that 5 years' time, his life has been completely ruined. The same principle applies here. With violations like this, it takes time to get it through a court system that is, by definition, glacially slow.
Yeah, but apparently, though, the law, it doesn't take effect. It's not like instantly. Isn't it a sort of 90-day? Doesn't it take 90
yeah,
days?
Right.
And I'm sure people are working on... I understand what you're saying, but... It just doesn't really feel like it's going to be just a done deal.
No, I'm just suggesting that's how the right wing thinks.
No, I know. Well, anyway, by the way, breaking news, apparently another explosion at this nuclear plant, man.
Yeah. And, it's hydrogen gas and it's not radioactive. Don't worry about it. No, plenty to worry about.
Yeah,
and the thing is, what about Chernobyl? Well, you know, that was faulty design. These things have containment buildings that blah, 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 blah. And one of the public radio people I heard earlier today, what about the China syndrome? You know, where it melts all the way through the through the containment building. Wow, that could never happen. And this coming out of the mouth of a guy who just said, well, they never imagined that a tsunami and an earthquake would happen together.
Well, I heard that one of the big concerns is that the pool of the spent fuel, that's another thing they're really concerned about, because a lot of them assumed that those areas were located on top of the building, and with the explosion, this one guy on Democracy Now! Was like asking, what happened with that? So, you know.
But the thing is, It's like building Category 3 levees in New Orleans when you know that Category 5 is going to hit someday. They had seawalls for tsunamis, but we couldn't imagine waves 30 feet high.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. Well, with that said, obviously it's happened. It's gone way beyond any standards they had factored in. So when I hear them asking for international help, my question is, what can the international community do, you know?
Isn't that, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, bring water, bring food, bring blankets.
No, I understand. But
comfort the miserable, but the nuclear situation,
yeah,
there's not much anybody can do, is there?
Right, that's what I'm saying. When I read that they were asking for assistance on that matter, you know, that kind of sent chills because I thought, oh, my God, you know, because governments tend to try to, you know, circle the wagon like this. So anyway, listen, I'll let you go.
It's going to be a weird little week, but at some point in time, we got to get around to discussing the fact that the beads of sweat are probably forming along the hairline of the CEO of Bank of America now.
You got to touch on that. Anyway,
I just love anonymous.
Hopefully, we can get some you know, clear information about this business in Japan. And I mean, I just got to just try to have best thoughts for these four people.
Oh, anyway. God, that's the heartbreak. Thank you, Sandra. Have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
And the truth will be a casualty. And How do you begin to comprehend the horror or the horror of the tsunami in Southeast Asia? How do you begin to give voice to that except to say that your heart and your thoughts go out to them? Unless you want to talk about real solutions and talk about stopping the foolishness of thinking that we need nuclear power in the world, you know. Saudi Arabia thinks that it might like to have itself a little nuclear power reactor, and they want to build it in an earthquake zone, naturally. Oh, good idea. Saudi Arabia, where the sun shines 366 out of 365 days a year, and they want a nuclear reactor. Geniuses. This is what happens when your country is run by a monarch. Big ears, buggy eyes, banjos, and we want a nuclear reactor. Everybody wants a nuclear reactor. I guess, what, solar panels and wind turbines just aren't sexy enough. But the fact of the matter is, there's no giant company like GE out there saying, pushing wind and solar. God knows there needs to be. I mean, they're a big company, Siemens, Spanish outfit, the Chinese are into it. But they really don't have the royal ear, do they? Yeah. Grid 2.0, I'm telling you, it's like indoor plumbing. It's going to be big. On we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hey, Bob.
Hey, Reverbo. What's up, brother?
Well, I want a nuclear reactor.
I do. Well, you know, you need one aboard the Silver Pelican, don't you?
Well, I mean, I want a power source to generate power that where the waste product from producing the power stays toxic for, I don't know, 50,000 years, say, where everything's great with the system unless even the slightest thing goes wrong, and where no private company will insure it at all. I mean, what is not to like about this?
And there's tons of money in it, because when
how
the
many can I order?
Right, but you know, the question is, and I kind of put it to Sandra, why don't these power companies that run these plants have to have multi-billion-dollar contingency funds? You know, you and I, we have to, we want to drive a car, we got to carry insurance to some degree. But you remember when Joe Barton got up on the floor of the House of Representatives and apologized to poor old BP? Because they'd been extorted by that Kenyan Muslim fascist lawmunist over a paltry, what, 20 billion, 20 million, what was it?
Even if it was billion, that's still paltry.
Yeah, it's chicken feed to these outfits.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, somewhere down the road, in both space and time, my little crappy coal-fired power company, Reverbo, wants another 9% rate increase for that cheap coal electricity. And every time I see one of those, I walk outside and I'm damned if the wind isn't blowing.
Yeah, crazy, huh? I wonder if it's just one of those weird accidents that, you know, that Rockefeller and Carnegie and, I mean, that all these people didn't make their money in, say, hydrogen. It just had to be in oil and coal. Would we be driving those hydrogen cars today and everything would just be just great? Or you think it wouldn't have gone so well?
Well, no, they'd find a way to gouge the daylights out of us, and they would put it, there would be a hydrogen bourse and a hydrogen market, and people would speculate down to the individual hydrogen atoms at play, and so, but...
and they'd still be carrying bags of loot down to Congress, of course, so, yeah,
right.
I guess.
And therein lies why the idea of individual wind and solar is so anathematic, to the industrial magnates, because you know what, sitting here on the grounds of the mansion, if I put up some a solar array and a couple of windmills and get off the grid, and I'm not writing $500 a month checks to the power company? Well, that's bad for America.
That is bad. You're right. It's bad for America. That's gonna kill job creation somehow. It's gonna distort and it's gonna retard our economy. It's
probably leads to bedwetting.
Oh God. Well, I mean, I haven't called in a little while, and I was thinking, this was kind of a good time to take a break, I think, because things have been kind of quiet, don't you think?
Oh, but it's been a positive snooze fest.
Really, just waiting for spring to arrive. North Africa's they're all kind of quiet. And the United States has just been slumbering for the most part. And I mean, the earth has been quiet, nothing much happening now.
Yeah, apart from, you know, the occasional earthquake, disaster. Yeah, right.
I mean, I think things have been running pretty smooth.
Yeah, just hop in the hammock, catch a nap, you know, read a good beach novel.
Well, having said that, which evidently is a new thing to say, is having said that, I have kind of a nominee for Moron Monday, and I'm afraid it's the president. I'm afraid I'm going to have to nominate Obama for tonight.
Okay, for which one? I mean, what now? I guess would be the appropriate response.
I think this thing in Madison is just driving me crazy, and the fact that he is not up there.
Oh yeah, that's right. Of the 100,000 human beings in Madison, one of them was not Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, what? How much? I mean, talk about setting the progressive table. How much better can this be, Chief? Where the hell are you?
But did you not hear Sandra announce the new campaign 2012 slogan?
Oh, God, what is it?
Change that matters.
Oh, here you go. Hello.
Yeah, I think that one goes out to Sandra.
Look, when he was running, and it was almost like he was saying, okay, what do you want me to do? Everybody's pissed off. Tell me what you want to do, and I'll do it. And everybody said, hey, man, we love this whole thing, you know, change for the better, and yes, we can, and what was the thing about change? I can't remember half this stuff now. But everybody said, cool, just go with this. We're behind you. Stay with this, and look at these nitwits that they're running. They've chickened out, man. The White House is yours. It's going to be great. And then he sort of, you know, drifts along and gets friendly with people like Larry Summers and whatnot, And then I'm sort of thinking it's the reverse. You know, what is he doing? Is he asking us, is it like, well, what can we do for you? How can we get you back on track here, Barack? And damn, if this ain't perfect. I mean, Bob, this is a microcosm of everything
that is screwed up in this country is going is right there in Madison, and he is nowhere to be found. I mean, you know, the
MIA, shall we say?
The word on the net, of course, is that the governor, Governor Walker, is all but guaranteed, you know, a second term for this guy, which, you know, be careful, wishful thinking. But I mean, at the very least, your campaign literature is already written for you up there, man. Get up there. What are you doing? Kucinich? What are you having these other people do the work for you? Kucinich went up there had a fiery speech about it.
Oh, he lit it up.
Well, and they're not using, eliminationist rhetoric, but he's getting the crowd yelling, fight back, fight back, fight back.
Yeah.
And hey, okay, man, let's you're damn right.
But you know what? There's a reason Dennis Kucinich is up there. And I can tell you, I think, what that is. And it's not because he's a publicity hound. And it's not because he's running against Obama in 2012. It's a very little reason. And if you get around him and you start talking union to him, Dennis Kucinich will reach in his back pocket, take out his wallet, Reverbo, and take out a tattered card. And it's his union card. And Dennis Kucinich pays his union dues every year, even though he's not doing union work.
What did he used to do?
He's been a number of things, but I think his last union membership, he was a TV station camera operator.
Oh, okay, sure.
You know, working stiff.
Yeah. Yeah, those people used to have unions.
Right, and so it means something to him to see people who are union wanting to stay union. Because for a guy who, as a child, actually lived in the back seat of an automobile for a while, he understands what union membership did for him and his family. So it kind of makes sense that he was there. Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me of that, Reverbo, because I need to run some of that audio at some point.
Oh, it's good stuff. The crowd's just into it. But and that's all fine and dandy, and he's a hero to the Head On Radio Network. But back to my point, I think we can't. I mean, what exactly? You know, you were asking, well, where is the mass media? Why are they just hiding out from Madison, was hiding out from this? Well, we all know the answer to that. But maybe we can even say, well, I don't know, sliding, you know, ever more into irrelevancy, one hopes. You know?
Well, to the extent that we recognize that, absolutely. But I don't know about what God knows, the CNN and everybody but Fox has been utterly irrelevant to all the oatmeal dribbling Fox viewers, Radio Rwanda, what have you, and frankly they're irrelevant to anybody on our side. The question is, and I think maybe this is the opposite way of expressing it: who in the world is CNN or any other for-profit media outlet relevant to? Who takes them seriously?
People who don't have computers. People who are too busy to track down the truth. People who are old. I don't know. Maybe it's the people who listen to Limbaugh. I don't know. You know? It's not... This sort of leads into the next sort of topic I wanted to... it sort of leads right in because... you want to know, well, where's the media coverage? Well, if the president was up there, you might have a little bit of media coverage, even if it's all twisted and distorted.
Oh, look, it's the bully pulpit. Yeah.
Hey, what do you, there you go. And I don't care how they would spin it. They're redundant to me. But there he would be with his arms around working.
And again, if Barack Obama went to Madison, Wisconsin to rescue a kitten from a tree,
yeah,
there would still be a really, really nasty, hateful the right-wing response to it.
But it doesn't matter. The cameras would be rolling
and then this is a no-lose situation for him, because even if they still ignore it, that's just more.
And he doesn't even have to. And the point here is that he doesn't have to deliver a fire and brimstone message. You know, he doesn't have to, you know, holler, you know, workers of the world, unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains. All he has to do is go up and talk about the essential secular sanctity of the American family. And that's the that's the ultimate positive message out of this. Why not say, you know, I'm here in support of Wisconsin family values.
There you go. But just throw darts at the wall. You just pick one. It is every single part of the equation is up there right now. This is it right here. This is what you ran on. This is why people are so pissed off. This is what money does. This is what shitty trade policies do. This is what absurd tax structures do. It's all right there. And just go up there. I just don't understand what he's doing. And it's, you know, if you miss the moment, it's just like the rebels in Libya, and I don't know what anybody should do about Libya. You don't know when, you know, on the one, you know, Mubarak, he was concerned about his historical legacy and well, our friend Gaddafi is not so concerned. I don't know what you do about when you're facing somebody like that, but the point is that these moments, it's gonna, they all crystallize and then they start to lose steam. And Jesus God, folks, they need you up in Wisconsin, Fred. They need you bad. I don't know what he's doing. The teabaggers, like,
he's campaigning for 2012 is what he's doing.
Well, but what I'm saying is the campaign is already, you don't need to spend any money. They're doing it for you. Are they hoisting themselves on their own petard? Are they screwing their own pooch?
You're in the neighborhood.
Hey, there's a party in your pants up there. Get up there. Is that correct?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
But your teabagger comment.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you brought this up, and I just wanted to develop this even more. Talk about, you know, irrelevant. You know. What you've got up there are a bunch of people who, look, what's there, you could there but for a few trillion brain cells. And the teabaggers are our allies. They just don't get it. They don't realize it. But you could just redirect, if he was up there, you could redirect all their energy. You could essentially just, poof, dissolve them. I mean, in one visit, you could redirect them. Well, I don't know. You could just talk about throw a monkey wrench into the conservative plan for the future. This is so perfect. I'm sorry. I'm going on too much about this, but it's just driving me nuts why he's just watching this on television from, you know, behind the, in the White House, you know, rumpus room. And the state of the country, in a way, is up there, you know?
I
don't know. Euphemisms for the teabaggers, the low information voter.
I just got another Moran nomination in from Michael in I believe Sebastopol, and he said, "Don't know if you got this one, Randy Hopper," and neither Michael nor I have made up that name. Because this is one of those names that the universe just hands you on a little silver platter. Have you heard about Randy Hopper?
Oh, tell me about
him. He's a repig-licking senator in the state senate of Wisconsin. A lot of decent folk. He's one of those people that hates unions and wants to limit yada, yada, yada. So a lot of decent folk converged on his home to protest in front of it. Well, his wife didn't care much for it. And she came out of the house and explained to the decent persons thereat assembled that Randy Hopper, can't make him up, that Randy Hopper wasn't there. That rather, Randy Hopper was back in Madison with his 25-year-old mistress. Randy Hopper. thank you, God, the God of irony, right, you know. Randy Hopper was not at home, but in Madison with his 25-year-old mistress, and shall we say, estranged Mrs. Hopper said she supports his recall, as does the maid.
Now, did she look anything like Catherine O'Hara, and did she have, like, a vodka tonic in her hand when she was...
I wish I had the video.
This is too... You can't make this stuff up. God, I hope she was just... Oh, God.
I know.
Yeah, these people are begging to be... To just...
Oh, yeah, and here's the follow-up. Fancy just sent it in. Wisconsin State... Oh, my God, you got... Everybody go Google... Randy Hopper, and when you see an nymag.com link, go there too. You got to see the picture of Randy Hopper.
I got to write this down.
Yeah,
now.
Wisconsin State Senator's wife joins recall effort against him. It's not that Wisconsin State Senator Randy Hopper's wife thinks he's been a bad lawmaker necessarily, more like a bad person. As Hopper's wife explained to protesters at her home last week, her husband now lives with his 25-year-old mistress, a former state Senate staffer. He's apparently following the Newt Gingrich School of Political Success. Mrs. Hopper reportedly intends to sign the recall petition against Hopper. Her maid has already done so. And that coming from, you can also find it at Raw Story.
The maid? Oh, I've got to get a bell.
I know.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, look, Barack. Can we call you Barack? It all seemed really casual in 08, okay? These people are throwing themselves in front of your bus, okay? It doesn't get easier than this.
All you have to do is not run over the people in front of your bus.
No, they're begging to be run over. Just hit the gas, man. Just pancake them. Real quick, I want to do a story that I like to call Follow the Washer and Dryer. And this is just...
This has got to be good.
It's just an example of how even intelligent people can just be bamboozled by all this shit. And so anyway, I've met a woman who we shall call Bridget, who owns a small coleslaw production facility. You may have even ordered some slaw from her. Very, very wonderful woman. And one night we were watching TV, and they had a little news blurb, as they will, about a family somewhere in the Midwest, let's say in Michigan somewhere, and it was, you know, the guy and his wife and the three kids, and the guy had just lost his job and was wondering what the hell he was going to do. And these were just blue-collar people. And they happened to mention that his wife, you know, had also not been working. And so things are going to be, it could be kind of tough for these folks. And my friend Bridget said, kind of with an unexpected blast, she said, "Hey, you lazy son of a bitch, why don't you go get a job?" To the woman on TV, obviously.
Right.
And I thought that was a little rough. And so I had to kind of try to put this all together and try to figure out where my friend, how could she say something like this? And, well, the problem is it's kind of easy to if you haven't really been, you know, suffering at the hands of these rip-off artists, and you've kind of been busy, you know, with your own business and busy with trying to, anyway, I thought that was a little, don't you? That's a little rough. Hey, easy does it here. Your boyfriend, by the way, has been looking for a job unsuccessfully for 3 years. You know, that's a little rough.
Yeah, a little close.
Yeah, I mean, easy does it here. Well, I mean, we don't know that. Wouldn't it be nice if the two of these people on TV who we don't know, if he'd have said, they, you know, because out of love for their kids and their family and love for each other, they said, well, what if my ex-wife and I said, hey, when we have kids, let's see if we can't just live off of my salary, well, you know, until they
till the first grade, so we don't have a bunch of strangers raising them. You know, we don't know what kind of deal they had, and then all of a sudden this guy, you know, gets the Wall Street and the economic hitman throw this guy and millions of his friends out of work, and now she's yelling at this woman, go get a freaking job, like you can just, again.
Like they grow on trees.
Well, like they used to, though. Her point was, a chick can always go get a job. Go down, be a waitress, or go down to Target, or go to Leo's department store. Go down and do somebody's nails. Yeah, you used to be able to do that, but you can't anymore. That's the trouble. It isn't like that. And I just think people there's still millions of people who are busy, who are not, don't have the time that you and I have. And they still think that the truth is semi-available on the mass media, and just like my mother thinks it is, and it just ain't. Anyway, to get to wrap this up, follow the washer and dryer. My friend needed a new washer and dryer. And this turned into a very interesting story about, I got her to rethink her comment on television. So when you follow the washer and dryer, we go to Sears, and we pick two out. And the salesman at Sears.
Oh, dear, you're picking. Do you realize you're picking out appliances?
Yeah, I know, but God, the new washing machines are cool looking. But anyway, so the only American, literally, and the only American product, durable good, and the only American life form involved in the whole process was the salesman at Sears. Now, first of all, now let's not confuse his salary with that of, anybody, say, close to Washington, D.C.
right, sure.
But from the moment we picked it out till the moment it was delivered by two fellers from south of the border in a truck that was made in many of the parts made in China and Mexico, the entire washing and drying unit assembly, the clothes washing and dryer, clothes drying units were made in China. I mean, I think she got the message kind of after a while.
That's where being able to go get one of them jobs went.
Basically, that's where it went. And, you know, when you start thinking of that, you just, and it's sad, the crazy thing is that's money that, you generate this money in the United States, and we really need it here. But it just drifts off, drifts over to China. It drifts down. I mean, it just drifts out of here, and we didn't make that policy.
And you never,
you
know,
finally got it.
And, but
you
it's
know,
that, that's that,
we didn't.
It's that NIMBY factor in action, Ruffurbo. And what I mean by that is the fact that, a lot of people looked around and didn't pay attention to the fact that everybody else's jobs were leaving until theirs got up and left, too. And there's a lesson to be learned about being thy brother's keeper, if I dare delve into that book. Because, the question gets asked in the Old Testament, God says, Cain slain Abel, and God looks at Cain and says, hey, have you seen Abel? Him been around. We were throwing darts the other night, and he didn't show up for practice. Hmm. And Abel says, am I my brother's keeper? And the obvious answer is yes. Yes, you are. Unless it would happen to be that you've gone out and killed him, or taken his job, or made it impossible for him to survive, yes, you are your brother's keeper. And going, as Sandra said, going back to, the 1980s economic martial law. What happens when you're in martial law, Ruffurbo? You stay in the damned house, or you're gonna get shot. And that's what America did from actually the 70s to the present. We stayed in our house, kept our heads down, and hoped that we were the ones who kept getting to pay the power bill and the insurance bill and make the mortgage payment and the car payment. When everybody else was saying, hey, I can't do it, and well, go get a job. Well, they shipped my job to China. But then the ugly kicks in, and your job goes to China or India. Or your mountain goes to India. And suddenly you've got a dog in the hunt, too, and the dog's ribs are showing. The question is, can this country learn that lesson? The answer being presented in Madison, Wisconsin, Reverbo, is that yes, we can. Oh, there's that phrase.
Whoa. Yes, we can.
The phrase needs to help.
Yeah, he's got to help. If he doesn't help with this, then exactly what is he?
If he doesn't get active, if he doesn't tap into that community organizer that he has been so roundly criticized by the right wing for even daring to be. And let me tell you, I spent a weekend with a bunch of community organizers, and it's some of the best company you ever want to be in, because they actually give a damn about people. And they want to see things get better. They don't want everybody in a mansion, but they just want people to be healthy and be able to work and have meaning and have a meaningful life. But if he doesn't tap into some of that community organizing business, he is good. Not the right wing, not Limbaugh, but our side, and the sides that, you know, the side that's really already rather pissed off with him is going to make him eat that line about putting on his comfortable shoes and walking the damn picket line. Whether he should or shouldn't, I have my opinion, but the fact of the matter is he made that remark, and he is going to be made to own it in a very negative fashion if he doesn't do something. And by do something, I mean go to Wisconsin.
Right. I mean, you have to take sides. Politics is about taking sides. I mean, life's about taking sides, taking a stand. I mean, I can't even fathom this. I mean, he's got to be out there with his sleeves rolled up, and he's got to make that governor look like a fool. Man, he could turn this could be so big for the progressives. This is populist uprising here. This is huge.
And it's all marketing. It's all messaging. And the this is one of those cases where the messaging doesn't really need to be finessed. I stand with American families. I believe in American family values. These workers deserve to be able to keep their families together. Oh, look, I just did. I could probably be making a six-figure salary in D.C. for coming up with something like that.
There you go.
It ain't rocket science, but apparently it's well past a bunch of... Yeah.
Jesus, I mean, the rough draft is already written. All you got to do is fine-tune it up there. And I mean, he could... Every single thing that people are pissed off about is going on up there. Right now. And he could say that this is what I want to do, this is what I'm trying to do for you, but these people won't let me. These people are getting in the way, these people are getting in your way. These people are screwing you. And I'm with you, ergo, you're with me, da 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 da. Let's get rolling here. You know, gangway, here we come. I don't know. Do you think Gaddafi's just going to basically blast? That's the end of the rebellion over there. What do you think is going to happen?
Probably drive him. Yeah. This just in from the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Uh-huh.
They're saying the situation is still evolving, but their assessment is not optimistic. They're saying, let me get down here. It's a Union of Concerns. Anybody that wants to learn about this needs to go and see this. They've got graphs that show things like the boil off rate in gallons per minute.
Well, they may have to just trash those reactors, and in a hurry, like you're talking about the seawall, you know, just rust it, you know, it'll just rust everything. Hey, at this point, folks, you got to get this stuff cooled and shut down pronto. Don't you think? I mean, it's over for them.
And it should have been over maybe 10, 20, because the life cycle of these reactors is not that long. And it takes almost just as long to shut them down. The whole thing is a financial boondoggle.
It's ironic that that Japan would have somehow, you know, the whole concept of peaceful nuclear energy and the, and you know, the United States Navy running on as the nuclear navy, and how we were gonna just, we're gonna just nuke, attach ourselves to the nukes and just nuke ourselves into just free energy and into the 51st century. And
you know, Kyoto News reporting now that the death toll has passed 6,000.
Uh-oh.
One official announced earlier today that he expects it to top 10,000 easily.
Oh, man. Where are they finding, where are all the new dead people?
Well, they found, 2,000 just sort of washed up on shore.
Oh.
From Miyagi Prefecture. Stunning. Just stunning.
Some of the, and I'll let you go here, but you obviously saw, or maybe you didn't, some of the footage. People were taking, you know, videos with their cell phones and stuff of that tsunami rolling in, and cars and shit just, I mean, it turns, the problem is it's not this unstoppable wall of water. It turns in very quickly into an unstoppable wall of crap.
Yeah, I saw briefly the footage of the farmhouse just going over all this flat land without stopping.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it just, it ends up being just a black...
And it's a house, it's a house moving at 35 miles an hour or something like that. It's
picking
just,
up some semis and steel beams and pieces of a bridge. Yeah, it's just, God. Who would have imagined, hey, you're in the Ring of Fire. Who would have imagined any, you know, volcanic activity?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, inconceivable.
Going on in the ocean.
Yeah, that's not a living ocean out there. That's just like that's a pond. Yeah, there's nothing going. It's a swimming pool. Got a concrete liner. Yeah, you know, vinyl. Yeah.
Well, I wish this could have been more.
I got to tell you, I thought of you over the weekend because at some point in the process of the discussions in which I was engaged, someone around the table sort of was getting frustrated and was getting a little bit head up. And you know what she said? Reverbo, she said, we've got to make it personal.
There you go.
I was like...
Well, it's pretty damn personal.
Yeah. I don't want to tempt the universe or anything, but I can't... How can it get more so?
Well...
I mean, you've got the profit industry... aligned against the very lives of human beings. I mean, because can we just say this before you go, that the reason there are 6,000 dead people in Japan is because it was very profitable somewhere in the process to build a bunch of nuclear reactors in earthquake zones?
Otherwise, explain it. There can't be any other explanation. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
God love the unseen hand of the market. Just makes you want to stand up and say the. Just makes you want to stand up and say the pledge, doesn't it?
It works in mysterious ways. The invisible hand.
I pledge allegiance to the prophet of the General Electric Corporation, and to the balance sheet for which it stands.
Those folks are making bullets, and they're making atomic reactors, and they're making dishwashers, and what the hell don't they?
They bring good things to life.
They do.
That probably indicates that they're working on cloning too. Really.
Well, they're not hiring me. I don't know who they're hiring, but they whatever they're doing, they sold it to the lowest bidder. That's all I can tell you. That's what I was trying to impress on my friend Bridget. Is that that's what has happened here? And so take it easy on these people. You just can't walk down to Target and. Get a job, you know, when times are tough. Oh, you can walk down there, but you'll have to stand in line behind 600 other people.
Precisely.
And, yeah.
Ugly business.
How much more personal it can get.
And right before you go, I got to share this with you because you're just going to love it. You want to talk about making it personal? The Republicans, of course, have a new funding resolution for 3 more weeks of government funding. Instead of just passing a continuing resolution 3 weeks at a time, and you know they're cutting the budget and being fiscally tough conservatives, right? Guess what they've cut in this latest 3-week round of funding? And see, the stuff they cut out, they don't cut out for 3 weeks; they cut it out forever. The Repiglicans in this latest round of 3-week the continuing resolutions have eliminated funding for tsunami monitoring and disaster response.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, they have. U.S. Geological Survey agency monitoring earthquakes and other seismic activities gets $7 million cut from its surveys, investigations, and research budget. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, primarily responsible for warning Americans about natural disasters like tsunamis and hurricanes, well, they get $117 million cut in their funding, including $99 million in cuts to operations, research, and facilities activities. Then there's the $194 million that gets slashed out of local law enforcement funding, $25 million from a campaign to crack down on meth, $2 million to be cut from the Office of National Drug Control Policy, federal drug control programs, and $91 million to be cut from juvenile justice programs. The EPA gets $217 million cut from its budget so that you can't find out that they're, well, you know what the EPA does. The National Forest Service, $50 million gets cut. But, yeah, not kidding. NOAA and the U.S. Geological Survey go on the chopping block because who needs to be warned about tsunamis anyway?
Well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. If he wants a tsunami heading coming, let's just let it come.
Come, Lord Jesus.
I just love, you know, millions. You know, they ripped off trillions. And they're trying to make it back with millions. You know, just close another library, and maybe you'll balance the budget with that, Mr. Boner.
Making sure that some 10-year-old can't read My Friend Flicka is going to make America all better again. Ugh.
I don't know. They it's on a silver platter right now. Up in Madison, that's all I can say. But you better hurry.
Just reach out and take it.
They still got the message machine, they still got the blowtorch, and there's a lot of stupid people out there.
But all you got to do is reach out and take it. I know.
Randy Hopper. I'm going to go take a look at him right now.
There's so much to be learned. Benedict has already sent an email off to him. Dear Mr. Hopper, this is precious. Dear Senator Hopper, in a recent news story, you were identified as now living in Madison and not in Fond du Lac District. If this is true, will you still be able to run as a candidate if the recall effort now underway for your seat is successful? Thanks in advance for any info you might provide on this matter. Interesting questions.
Oh, God. You got to love them. All right, well, this next 2 weeks I can almost listen every night. You won't, of course, won't be live Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but that's okay.
Well, I'm going to shoot for Friday, but I'm not promising. But
well, have a good evening, and off you go.
Make it personal.
Make it personal. All right, I'll catch you later.
Later, Reverbo. Bye now.
Bye.
The captain and chief operator of the Silver Pelican, as you've read at headonradionetwork.com. That is Reverbo. I'm going right back to the phones in a second, but in talking about Mr. Hopper, Senator Hopper, something about Senator Hopper reminded me of this.
Listen, Stern. Change the plea to guilty. Throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
I told you, Charlie, I got an angle.
But the most we can hope for is to get you buried in secrecy so your grave don't get violated. Plead guilty.
Shut up, Charlie. I got an angle.
What angle?
Him.
State your name for the record.
I am Hanover Fisk.
You know the defendant, Captain Stern?
Yes, I know Captain Stern. And never did there live a kinder, more generous man.
I promised him 35,000 Zulex to testify on my behalf.
He's an overflowing cup, filled with the very cream of human goodness.
Senator Hopper?
In all the time I've known him, he's never done anything immoral.
See?
Unless maybe the preschooler's prostitute ring.
And he's never done anything illegal.
Unless you count all the times he sold dope disguised as a nun.
He's always been a good, law-abiding citizen.
Oh, give me a break!
Of the Federation and...
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
A community-conscious individual.
Stern! He's nothing but a low-down, double-dealing, backstabbing, larcenous, perverted world. Hanging's too good for him. Burning's too good for him. He should be torn into little bitsy pieces and buried alive. Head over.
Yeah, if you don't recognize that from the classic animated film Heavy Metal, that's the way it is with any family values Republican like Senator Randy Hopper, randomly hopping from bed to bed to bed. He's all family values until you catch him in the bed of his 25-year-old former Senate staffer mistress. Yeah, his former Senate staffer mistress. Worked closely with Senator Hopper on the Wisconsin Senate Economic Development Committee. Her bio's been scrubbed from the Persuasion Partners website. No kidding. She left the Senate Economic Development Committee and sashayed over to Persuasion Partners, Inc. But they disappeared her bio information. And for some reason, the page with the screen cap of her bio doesn't want to load. But that's always the way it is with these family value Republicans. They've got family, unless you count the time he sold dope to school children dressed as a nun! I think that's kind of a keeper, isn't it? Yeah. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
A power plant and a disco have a lot in common. Both have shining lights and both are pretty loud. I can see how it was mistaken.
You mean the Shibuya Eggman nuclear reactor / disco?
Yeah. And also, Japan is always about converting and mixing up different areas of interest. You know, with the technology, the TVs, and the beds in the restaurants, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's getting uglier and uglier. The New York Times now reporting that the steel containment vessel of the number two reactor at Fukushima Daiichi may have been damaged in an explosion early Tuesday morning, Japan time. They report. I'm sorry, they report the blast appeared to be different and more severe than those at two other troubled reactors at the same nuclear complex because this one, reported to have occurred at 6:14 a.m. Japan time, happened in the pressure suppression room in the cooling area of the reactor, raising the possibility of damage to the reactor's containment vessel. That thing goes down, big trouble. Big trouble.
It seems like... I was watching the solution for mainstream media is to keep talking about that they're pumping seawater. That seems to be the cure. Like, but they are pumping seawater. Oh, okay, that's good. Just like how it works in the Gulf. Yeah, pump the seawater.
Oh God, I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah, I mean, this is I have some reservations about. Here's the first thing. I have reservations about putting a. I don't know how you would cover the. I would hate to be a news outlet and just have like the facts right in front of me, and be right in Japan or be on the NK Live, and it says right across the screen, thermonuclear disaster in 20 seconds or however how much time they say, because I don't know if I would have the stomach to be able to. Or the courage to be able to mention that on the air. Do you know what I mean? Mention that on the air, and at the same time have that kind of panic set in for the whole country.
Well, it's another one of those how do you like it moments. We dropped bombs on them once, and now the incompetence of the corporate world has potentially bombed them again.
I really hope if it does get considerably worse, I hope that all permits are revoked permanently, and no one can ever build another nuclear reactor in Japan ever again. And
I don't want to build any more nuclear reactors at all.
Yeah, you got to start one place at a time. Well, it's going to take.
No. I think we can use this as an example for not doing it anywhere else. But the messaging is already out there by the right wing with their little MIT scientists. They're completely safe in the United States because we don't get tsunamis.
Mm.
And I heard that. I'm not kidding, because I've been wondering ever since I saw the news on Friday, how long is it going to take them to start spinning this? It was just like what Robert asked in his email from Japan. How long until Fox News or whatever comes up with the talking point? And there it was this morning. But it wasn't on Fox. It was on NPR. Remember NPR, the communist liberal media outlet? And they got a guy on there. We've got to remember, it was not the earthquakes. These things were shutting down properly when all the tsunami water hit it and knocked out their power generating capacity.
Did you see what Kudlow said on CNBC?
No.
They were talking about the earthquake and the tsunami disaster, and all of a sudden, I mean, we were talking about the tragedy numbers, and he says, but it's not going to be that bad for business. you cold, heartless bastard.
And they are. The only thing that matters is profit. I mean, my God, driving through the rain late on Thursday night or early on Friday morning, going to where I was going in Mississippi, there's this creepy old dude out of Chicago named Milt Rosenberg, who runs a talk program on WGN, which apparently reaches Mars, called Extension 720. And he had this guy on who had written a book about the likelihood of another nuclear war. Now, this is this is live Thursday night, David. And this guy is arguing that it's immoral to consider a nuclear response if you've been nuked. Okay, I can get down with that. But lo and behold, then they loop it back around, and he uses it as an argument for why Israel should nuke Iran first. I wish I was lying.
These news networks want to be out the gate, and they want to be there first, just in case it happens. Just in case it happens. We told you Iran was dangerous.
Well, you know, the bubble-headed bleach blonde comes on at 5. She can tell you about the meltdown with a gleam in her eye.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, and so that's Thursday night, and literally at the instant that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
The earthquake is taking place, and I mean they didn't know it, but
yeah,
it was one of those moments when I got up Friday morning, and saw the news. I just kind of had a wait a minute, because you really kind of do, because these guys were this guy was arguing in favor of going ahead and nuking Iran first, Israel doing that, and he was saying, you know, there's a 10% chance in the next blah blah blah. And he was basically saying there will be a nuclear World War III during the 21st century. There's no getting around it. He just said there's no way to get around it. And we wake up the next morning and nobody's been nuked. But for all intents and purposes, it may turn out that Japan has been nuked. and it wasn't anybody's first strike, and it's not anything for anybody to retaliate against. It just goes to prove how goddamn dangerous these things are, even when they're not made into bombs.
It makes you wonder why Japan didn't go. I mean, they were on the cutting edge with everything else, and they just said, you know what? Let's go with nuclear. I mean, they spend millions and billions and billions of dollars on robots and TV watches and video game machines, and you would think, you know, geothermal, solar, wind, you guys could have had it all.
And they could have. But they didn't. But there's no, and you know, that the stupid drug-addled gas bag on the radio today was arguing, well, you know, the technologies don't exist. They just these liberals want you to. He did everything but repeat the Friends of Coal phrase. They want you to freeze in the dark.
I don't know what there is what more we can be said about the dangers of nuclear energy now, especially with the rise of earthquakes. But it just seems like such an idiocracy moment that there's nothing more you can really say, and it makes you, I hate to be cynical, but I can just see the United States being like, well, all this means is we just need more personal responsibility for power plants and then putting out the
No, it's even worse, David, it's even worse.
Yeah.
I've got it for you. Now, because tell me this isn't the truth.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the next few days, if it hasn't happened already,
yeah,
a right-wing member of the Congress or the House or the Senate or some leader of the Republican Party or some pundit on Radio Rwanda will say, see, this is what happens when you over-regulate nuclear power plants. Japan had lots of regulations on their nuclear power plants, and now they're melting down. You see what happens when you don't just let the market alone?
Goddamn regulations and socialists. I did want to mention one last thing on what Reverbo was saying about Obama. And I think you didn't have the heart to tell him, but there's no way Obama can go to Wisconsin. They'll pull his funding in 2 seconds.
Oh, you mean corporate America will?
Yeah, corporate America will say, you know, we had such high hopes for you, and basically in that coded language that they used, but we just don't see... We're going to put our resources to somewhere elsewhere. No hard feelings. Don't take it personal.
It's only business.
Yeah, it's only business. I mean, that's basically, yeah, I mean, that's, see, and this is a problem that a lot of people don't understand. When you have, what was it, all of those people in Wisconsin and, you know, the fact that we can't have that connection as an American community, because that's what we really are. We're a community. And the working people, that is, when we can't have that connection, there's obviously some level of sabotage going on, and it's corporate sabotage to the high. I mean, it is.
Yeah. Oh, look, no. As soon as that line that Obama used on the campaign trail about if somebody's on the picket line, I'll put my comfortable shoes on and I'll go walk the picket line with them. As soon as that went out into the public consciousness. A phone got picked up somewhere on Wall Street.
Oh, without a doubt.
The phone is connected like the nuclear hotline to the White House, and the little light blinked, and Barack Obama picked up and said, "Barack Obama," and the voice on the other end of the line said, "Barack, you don't own any comfortable shoes. Am I clear? You don't own any comfortable shoes." Yes, sir. Am I clear? Green. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing that was that's interesting about the whole coverage is the fact that there is such a limited interest from the mainstream news, but as soon as you have some union workers bashing in the Capitol, they put the focus right back on there in a heartbeat.
Union thugs destroy property.
Yeah, even if they were trying to save people from a fire inside. That's
right.
That's bastardous our news is.
Right. And that's what I said about Barack Obama rescuing kittens in Madison. It's a no-win situation. There's one other thing that you remind me of.
Yeah.
David, and I want to bring this up and just see your get your thoughts.
Yeah.
For something on the order of 2 to 3 years now, we've been having news stories, and I'd say if you did a LexisNexis search, you would find out that the word has been repeated at least 5 times a day in the for-profit media. And again, I was thinking about this the other day because I've had a lot of time driving. You don't want to be in the car with me, all the thinking that goes on.
Yeah.
People drive by me and I'm sitting there screaming inside the closed up car and they're like, what the hell's wrong with him?
Yeah.
And you know, we've talked about eliminationist language and we got to stop using words like target and kill the bill and stuff like that. And I'm not a mysticist and, you know, I don't believe in the hobgoblins and the hokum and everything. But I've been taught over the course of years to really pay attention to the shit you whisper into the universe's ear.
Right, right.
And what I'm getting at is for the last 3 years, at least 5 times a day, I guarantee it's been used somewhere in the major for-profit media, including right-wing gasbag talk. The word meltdown has been used to describe the financial failings on Wall Street. We have screamed meltdown, 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 meltdown for nearly 3 years now until the universe looked up and said, you want to see a meltdown? You've been talking meltdown for 3 years. Here, let me show you a meltdown. Now quit talking about what a bunch of phony baloney fraud merchants on Wall Street do. Quit calling that a meltdown.
It seems like that's a... My only question is with this is with all the events that have happened this year, have we peaked too early or is this just another sign of in the months to come that we're going to expect more natural disasters, or is it going to be spaced out? I mean, what's going to happen with the afters? I mean, there's so many damn questions. I mean,
oh, this is just getting funner and funner.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's going to get more interesting, but. One last thing, when Sam Cedar walks the walk and he talks the talk, because he said on his radio program he wanted to go to Wisconsin, and he said, but you know what, I don't have any money and my wife doesn't go. He goes, but if you guys want me to go, and I'll go. And in that program, he made the money. He brought his phone and he brought a HD cam. And he got footage of the people on the ground, of a lot of union workers, and did short interviews with them, just walking around in the cold. I mean, that's where we're at, people, doing broadcasts from an iPhone. And, I mean, it was interesting to watch.
I'm proud to say I did it first.
Yeah, yeah. And because Sam Cedar was going up to some union people, and he was trying to use some kind of, like, sarcastic humor to deflect the nature of what's going on, and one of these union workers said to him, I don't really think I can see anything funny in what you're saying. I mean, he straightened him right up, and he said, because I'm about to lose my house, man. And there he was protesting. He goes, it's as simple as that. I'm about to lose my house. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I can't pay the mortgage. Because this is what I'm doing for it. And it just nailed the point right home. And I can't imagine what would happen if somebody saw a short soundbite clip like that on mainstream news. I think people, more and more people, would just get it instantly. And that's the reason why it's not there. And, Bob, that's also the reason, when you look at what's happening, when people are laughing about what the Republicans are doing, they're thinking long term, baby. You may think they're fools, and you may think they're ridiculous, but they're dismantling everything in sight while people are constantly just shrugging them off and saying, what a bunch of fools, they're going to lose the election. Ah.
Yeah.
And it continues on and on. I mean, you look at what's happening in Maine. Nobody 5 years or even 3 years ago even said, even would dream what's happening in Maine right now. But they are dismantling the public education and liquidating it faster. It makes sense because, you know, LePage was the CEO of Martin's, so it makes sense why they're liquidating things. That's all he understands, what to do. Retail, got to liquidate things. Everything must go, and that means the poor, Bob. That means the poor. That means the educated.
We're liquidating everything because we're crazy.
Basically, I mean, that's it. And the only thing I can say before I go is this, is that it's long-term investment. Keep your eye on the ball, people, because they're not going to go away. They will never, ever, ever go away as a party. They'll find a way to resurrect themselves. Like, you can't even, you won't be able to comprehend it. And that's what you need to, and that's what you need to constantly keep your eye on. You need to constantly, you need to constantly put yourself in that frame of mind, because that's what's happening. Because they have endless money, and they have endless hatred toward anything that isn't status or profit. And that's it.
That's it. That is, yeah, bang, right down on the ground. David, thank you.
All right, later.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
David calling from Maine. Email just came in from Darlene. She said, GE, General Electric, in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, contaminated the Housatonic River with PCBs. I grew up right across the street from that beautiful meandering river in Connecticut, downstream from Pittsfield and that dastardly company. My father made a living from the river, showing it the utmost respect and advocating on its behalf whenever he could. The PCB contamination almost destroyed the housey and almost destroyed his livelihood. Connecticut has been fighting for decades to get that miserable company to clean up the river, but GE won't do it. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? As far as the nuclear problem that Japan has, France is supposedly sending its experts over to help. See how the lamestream media is trying to skew things already? I think it was NPR throwing France in as the expert because of its supposedly safe, top-notch nuclear power industry. Conservatives constantly spew on and on about how wonderful and completely safe the nuclear power industry is in France. That's all that Japan and the world really needs, right? Experts in nuclear power, such as France. Then we wouldn't need to worry, would we? Nuclear power would be completely safe. It all boils down to the simple fact that Japan just isn't expert enough. And yeah, I've heard a bunch of that xenophobic-tinged stuff in the broadcasting that I heard on the way driving today and yesterday about how, what Darlene just said. But she continues, but France's reputation for having an excellent nuclear power industry is completely undeserved. More a product of an excellent PR machine, industry secrecy, and sociopathic greed. According to Ralph Nader, rivers in France are contaminated with the nuclear reactor wastewater because the French dumped the reactor wastewater into the rivers. Jesus. Thanks, Darlene. Yeah, there's no such thing as a safe nuclear plant. They are all, to one degree or another, disasters waiting to happen. One of the apologists I heard on NPR today said, well, you know, the engineering for this, they're engineering out 3, 4, 5,000 years. So what, they didn't engineer this out 3 or 4 or 5,000 years? What happened? Yeah, exactly. And here's the email coming in from our buddy Brad Friedman. Breaking, third explosion at Fukushima. That's what we just read coming from the New York Times. And yeah, this isn't just happening in Japan. And by the way, for the right-wingers out there, Muslim terrorists didn't do this. Now, can you imagine if this had happened on the watch of George W. Bush? Get Richard Clarke in here. I want you to figure out how it was that Al-Qaeda made the earthquake. Does Al-Qaeda have an earthquake machine? Of course, that crazy little bastard over in Iran says that homosexuals cause earthquakes. God only knows what kind of pogrom is going on over there. But it's just... earthquakes are the breathing of the planet, the expanding and contracting of a living organism that we continue to torment. Remember this? Okay, obligatory Star Trek reference. Remember the Star Trek episode with the what was it? The Horta? The living thing that turned out to be made of stone that was all pissed off because the miners kept stepping on its eggs? Well, that was a myth for modern times about a living, about the idea of a planet being a living organism. This is that. If somebody came along and built a and had you lay down prone on the ground and told you to hold your breath and proceeded to build a house of cards on your chest, wouldn't you think that they were idiots when they got angry and frustrated and confused because you breathed and their house of cards fell down? This is that. You know, the book, because that's all Bible means is book. The book says not to build on shifting sands. That's another way of saying don't put nuclear reactors on earthquake fault zones. And by the way, just kind of getting away from all that for a moment, because this kind of has to be covered. It's Moran Monday. I offer you New Hampshire freshman... Really, New Hampshire freshman Senator Martin Harty of the New Hampshire legislature. Martin Harty is, of course, a Republican. Martin Harty is also 90 years old. He's just entered the New Hampshire Senate. In that state, in the effort to be fiscally responsible, in other words, strip everything, including the curtain rods off the walls for our corporate betters. In New Hampshire, they pulled $1.8 billion from mental health services over the last 2.5 years. Not in New Hampshire alone, but in a number of states. Well, that has happened to a degree in New Hampshire. And Sharon Ormond is a community health care center manager, and she's a resident of Stafford, New Hampshire. She happens to be a constituent of 90-year-old freshman Senator Republican Martin Harty. So she called him saying that those most fragile among us, the disabled and the mentally ill, the homeless, needed more funding. Harty, a Republican, remember, told her that the world is too populated. 90-year-old Martin Harty said there are too many defective people. Then he went on and said to Ms. Ormond, I wish we had a Siberia so we could ship them all off to freeze to death and die and clean up the population. Ms. Ormond, shocked, said, my God, that sounds like Hitler. And World War II veteran Martin Harty, 90 years old, said, Hitler did something right, and I agree with it. And everyone's writing off Martin Harty. Well, you know, he's been kind of addled in committee meetings, and he doesn't seem to understand the process. And, gosh, he's just a 90-year-old guy. Bullshit. He is a classic mainstream Republican. You want proof? I got proof. Let's go to Kansas. It happened today in the Kansas State House. The state legislature's House Appropriations Committee held a hearing on spending for controlling feral swine. They've got wild pigs in Kansas. No, I'm not talking about the pig lickings. I'm talking about real wild pig, you know, tusks and mean and not very tasty. And so they were going to have a hunting plan to allow guys in helicopters to shoot pigs. That is where Repiglickin State Representative Virgil Peck from Tyro, Kansas. Tyro? I don't know. Comes in. T-Y-R-O. In the hearing on helicopter hunting of feral swine, Virgil Peck said the following.
Representative Peck on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was also on the committee report, but I had a question on the amendment, some of this information that was handed out. Looks like to me if shooting these immigrating feral hogs works, maybe we have found a problem to our illegal immigration problem.
You got that? Let that go all the way into the bone. And don't just think about it in terms of Virgil Peck. Last week or the week before, it was a hateful woman in California who suggested that Marines should help little Muslim children have a meeting in paradise sooner rather than later. Then it was State Senator Repiglickin Martin Harty in New Hampshire suggesting that people with mental illness should be rounded up and sent to Siberia to die. And now, today, it is Virgil Peck, state representative from Tyro, Kansas, Repiglickin, who suggests that in enacting a program for shooting feral pigs, that so-called illegal immigrants be included in the bill. They are, each and every one of them, rock-ribbed, solid, mainstream members of the Republican Party. And in Tyro, Kansas, there are lots of Repiglickin people who live on Oak and Main Street and God only knows whatever they name their roads, who, when Virgil Peck said he was just joking, all laughed with him. Ha ha! That Virgil Peck, that's why we done sent him to the State House, because he's funny that way. He's not afraid of not being politically correct. He'll talk about... he's shooting them illegal immigrants like the pigs they are. Dang, he's funny. I can't wait to vote for him again. So the Lawrence Journal World newspaper contacted Virgil Peck to find out about these remarks. He didn't apologize. Just like 90-year-old Martin Harty, state Repiglickin senator from New Hampshire, didn't apologize, wouldn't apologize for wanting to send mentally ill people and homeless people to Siberia to freeze to death and die, Virgil Peck of Tyro, Kansas, would not apologize for suggesting that brown people be hunted by helicopter. His remark, well, I was just speaking like a Southeast Kansas person. Get me a map. Show me Southeast Kansas where they believe in hunting human beings with high-powered rifles from the perch in outside the door of a helicopter. I want to meet those psychopaths. I want to look them in the eye and say, you're sick. You sicken me. And you are no fellow countryman of mine, because I don't live in a country where we hunt people from helicopters. It's bad enough to know that this country has been one that drowned 15-year-old little boys for having the temerity to look at a white woman. That's bad enough. But it's not bad enough for the Repig-Lickin' Party, because the Repig-Lickin' Party thinks that's just fine. Down in the Delta area of Mississippi, I was told, there's a plantation. And it's still a plantation, and it's called Southern Pine Lands. It's a pine tree plantation. And it has been the investment property of the well-to-do upper class of Mississippi rich whites for generations. But not just rich upper class Mississippi whites, but whites from elsewhere. One of the investors has at one time, and probably still is, has been Her Majesty Elizabeth II of England. At the time that Emmett Till was tortured to death, murdered and his body submerged in the Tallahatchie River, the Queen of England, Her Royal Highness, was a co-investor with people like Senator John Stennis of Mississippi, who didn't let those outside agitators coming in here trying to get the hopes of the Negroes all worked up thinking they're going to vote. There is not a dime's bit of difference. Not a nickel's bit of difference between a Mississippi Republican in 1951 and a Kansas Republican in 2011 or a New Hampshire Republican in 2011. No difference! They do not change, and murder is still in their hearts. Looks like to me, if shooting these immigrating feral hogs works, maybe we have found a solution to our illegal immigration problem. Darlene reminding me, Mrs. Horta on Star Trek was made of silicon. Star Trek was prescient, as the scientists recently discovered those arsenic-based life forms in those pools in California. Gotta be careful about our carbon centrism. I'm awfully glad I got to made it to get into the chair behind the microphone this evening and be here with you guys. Thank you. By the way, a big shout-out hello goes from Johnny O and Carolyn in the chat room out to Fancy. It's good to hear from Fancy this evening. A lot of good times were had on the MS Eurodam. I will be back tomorrow night. Wednesday and Thursday are looking dodgy. Friday's iffy. Then next week, it gets all normal again, pretty much. Remember, on the 21st of March, we will have another history chat session with Dr. Bill O'Brien in this time slot. And another reminder, we're still working on it, but it's in, more likely than not, April the 9th, a lecture sponsored by West Virginia Citizen Action Group, Patriots for Peace, and Seneca 2, a lecture by none other than... oh, what happened to my brain? Chris Hedges, being broadcast live April the 9th. Just mark that on your calendars, perhaps. Reverbo chiming in toward the end here. I remember living in Colorado when Democratic Governor Dick Lamb was suggesting, in my opinion, legitimately, that one of our health care concerns is that we tend to spend most of our money in the last years of our life on expensive medical procedures that won't make all that much difference at that point, and that this was an issue that impacted health costs and quality of life issues and deserved to be further explored. Man, did the conservatives jump in and excoriate him for even thinking this. Government death squads, you know, the usual. Death panels. Remember death panels last year? Reverbo notes, amazing, isn't it? Yeah. See, we don't have any death panels, but they do. And we don't have any murderous intentions, but sweet Jesus, they do. Virgil Peck and oh, what was his name? 90-year-old creep from New Hampshire. Be careful. They walk among us. Thanks, everybody. If you can kick into the till and help us keep the bills paid, it would be much appreciated. They come due all month long, not at the beginning, not at the end, some in the middle. Some in the beginning, some in the middle, some in the end. If you can help out by being a part of the nifty, thrifty 250, less than 5 cents per hour of programming is, not a bad price to pay. And we do need the help. I'll let you know tomorrow night how we're doing. Tomorrow is March the 15th, so I would be remiss if I did not remind you, beware the Ides of March. It would have been about this time in the evening that, in 44 B.C., Caesar was sitting down to dinner and saw all kinds of creepy omens, and his wife begged him not to go to work the next morning. Kind of like saying, Mr. President, let's not use the open-topped car today. In both cases, the men said, it'll be fine. It wasn't. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Thanks to Lottie, our moderator in the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to our op-ed columnist, Reverbo, Cavalcade of Crazy. Our Southeast correspondent, Matt Osborne, OsborneInc.com. Thanks to John Fox and Ben Birch. Technically speaking, they make every last bit of this all happen. And, of course, thanks go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. Go to those websites. Have a look around. I'm so grateful to Coal River Mountain Watch for letting me have the experience that I just had over the last several days. It was amazing. But always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Rick Smith is next.